Good morning and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne. I'm covering both myself and Pat Milliman this morning. Pat's off at a fancy foods show, I think, in San Francisco, so we'll hear all about that when she comes back. But I am here on behalf of North Coast Food Web, and Food Talk is all about food in our region. And I am so happy to welcome this morning Linda Perkins. Thank you so much, Linda, for being here.
I am so happy to be here.
We are always happy.
Food is one of my favorite things.
And we are always happy to talk with you about food. Today, we're going to talk about soup because it is cold and stormy in midwinter out there, and soup seems to be a good thing to be talking about right now. But before we start talking about soup, I want to hear a little recap of the last time we talked to you. You were here talking about the animal shelter fundraiser, giant bake sale that happens once a year. How did it turn out?
Oh, well, it turned out really well. The weather was amazingly bad, and the first like hour and a half, hardly anybody came in, so I was so scared. But in the end, we made over $22,000 just in the bake sale part of the fundraiser. And so thank you so much for promoting it on your show. That really helped. There was one lady who came from Beaverton. She had heard about the fancy cookies that we made, and there were 92 specific cookies that she wanted, and she drove 2 hours in that weather over the mountain to get them, and we let people pay whatever they want. She paid $500 for those cookies.
Wow.
Isn't that something? So it was really, really a success. There were other stories like that. It was the best year so far, so that was really exciting.
Wow. That's so And you know, our just recently ex-board president at the Food Web, Rod Nichols, who is also a chef, won one of the drawings.
Really?
He won the guitar.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know. He was so surprised. Oh. He goes, I never win anything. So anyway, I'm so glad to hear that that turned out to be a good thing for the Animal Shelter Foundation, and also a good thing for all the people who work so hard and so long to make all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm so happy we're talking about soup today because I'm not going to bake anything for like 11 more months.
Let's talk soup. There's something about soup that makes you feel, it just goes with the kind of weather we've been having. Mm-hmm. It just does.
It warms your stomach and warms your heart.
Yep. And it warms your house while it's simmering.
That's
away.
That's true.
Yeah.
It smells so good.
Yeah. It's aromatherapy. So what do you make? I just made soup for dinner last night.
What did you make?
Well, I made chicken vegetable because I had roasted a chicken a couple days before, and I just simmered the carcass with all the meat, leftover meat on it for a very long time the day before, and then strained off the broth and put the meat in one container and the broth in another in the fridge overnight because I like to be able to just skim off the fat, you know, once it's solidified, it's so much easier. And then I just threw in a bunch of veg and made soup, a lot of mushrooms.
See, that's the thing about soup. I have a friend, Georgia, and she is such a good cook. And she says, if you are making soup and you have to go to the store, it's not soup. And there's that being able to improvise that I think is such an important thing to learn how to do with cooking, but especially soup. And I think soup is like the perfect place to learn how to improvise and be not scared that you're going to make something horrible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. I think that if that there is a fabulous soup waiting for you just between your pantry and your refrigerator.
Yeah.
Really, it's the perfect place for leftovers. It's the perfect place for veg that is going to go off pretty soon if you don't get busy and use it. And a can of tomatoes or a little bit of stock if you don't have some already made and you're in business.
Yeah.
Even some bouillon, it doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah, I actually use bouillon paste a lot. If I have a chicken carcass, I'll boil that up like you did, and I put it in quart bags and I keep it in the freezer so I never throw a carcass away. But also if there's any kind of meat that I'm cooking and I have anything brown in the bottom of the pan, I'll deglaze that, or, you know, put it with some water or leftover gravy. I think that's a really old-timey thing, but I know that was a thing like my grandma did. If she was making soup, if she had some leftover gravy, she would always put it in soup, and it would taste
good.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Last night, I threw in leftover mashed potatoes.
Yes, yes.
And it just gave, you know, it's a nice consistency.
Yeah.
That's true. And I think also, at least for me, I mean, I'm only cooking for two people at home. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't behoove me to get a bunch of chickens and make gallons of stock and put them in the freezer, because they don't, you can't keep them in there forever. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy with one chicken carcass worth of stock. And then, I mean, you can make really great soup with water.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. You know, okay. So I think that there's kind of three, no, you know, I mean, I would say categories, but that's totally wrong. But let me tell you where my brain is thinking. Like, there's three kind of ways to make soup. Like, there's, I like really rustic, hearty soups. And so I am more likely at the beginning to brown vegetables. So I always start with an onion. And I don't just sweat it and get it translucent, but I get a little brown. I get the other things a little brown because I like that flavor. But then there's kind of a middle way where you just sweat the vegetables and get them soft and make your soup that way. And then there's, I think, the third way, like where you just boil things without browning them or sweating them in any way in water. And then you get a very clear, pure kind of brothy thing. And so you kind of have to decide what appeals to you, and then you just get to make what you like, I think.
Uh-huh. And also what you have on hand. Because if you have gravy, you're not going to get that real clear brothy, but you're going to get something really lovely.
Can I tell you a soup story?
Yes, please.
Okay, I have a friend who's a really good cook. And we were sitting at her kitchen table one day, and her husband sauntered by, and he's like, "Honey, what was that soup that you made today for lunch? What's it called?" And she's like, "It's just something I threw together." And so then he's like, "Well, whatever it was really good." And she was blushing. That's the funny thing. She was blushing, which is not something she normally does. So after he was gone, I asked her, "Why are you blushing? Why are you blushing about the soup?" And she said, "Because I pushed the envelope of cooking decency." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, I had a chicken carcass left over from one of those rotisserie chickens out of Costco. So I boiled that up, and I'd made kimchi fried rice last night for dinner," which is like fried rice, how she makes it, fried rice with bacon and kimchi, pretty much, essentially. So she said, "I threw a bunch of that in there. And then I know he likes pepperoni. So I threw in a handful of pepperoni, and I had some frozen peas." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh." But it turned out good. He liked it, and he liked all the elements of it. And I think that that's something. It's sort of like how you test spices. First thing you do is you smell it. And if you like how it smells, you're probably going to like it. And if you don't like how it smells, you're probably not going to like it. And then you just try it on something bland. And in soup, if you're trying something different and you want to see if you like it, I do like how you made chicken soup. Put it in chicken soup or put it in cream of potato soup. And that's just a way to find if you like something, some new herb, some new way to do something.
Soup is so, I think it's probably the cheapest high nutrition food you can possibly come up with. I can't think of anything. I mean, eggs are right up there in terms of quality of nutrition for the amount of money you spend. But if you're, but if soup is your way to have a delicious meal and not waste anything left over, then you can't beat it.
Yeah.
You can't. So what are you making lately?
Cream of tomato soup. I really like tomato soup. And there's a way that I make it that isn't like I'm not using the finest tomatoes or the finest ingredients, but it's a method. And what that is I'll start with an onion. And often if I'm making like onion soup or if I have a soup with a decent amount of onion in it, I will put a little bit of tomato paste and a little bit of brown sugar with it when I'm browning the onion, just because I think it makes it taste a little richer. So I'll do that. I'll sweat the onion, get it a little brown. And then what I do is I add tomatoes, and I usually use diced tomatoes, but just whatever kind of canned tomatoes I have on hand, and I strain them. And I save the juice, but I'm just putting the tomatoes in. And then on medium high heat, in a pan with a, you know, decent thick bottom on it, I cook them for at least 15 minutes. And so you have to keep them moving. You know, you probably have to stir them every minute. But what I'm trying to do is caramelize the tomatoes. So towards the end, you know, you have to keep it moving the whole time so that it doesn't burn on the bottom of the pan. And it changes from red to kind of orangey brown, and that's when it's good. And it's just the flavor is really, really delicious, and it adds, I think, more than even using like the finest San Marzano tomatoes. I really, really like that method. So then I sometimes add a little thyme. I sometimes don't. Salt and pepper. What else would go in there? Oh, some vegetable stock or chicken stock to thin it out, plus the tomato juice that I saved. And then at the end, I'll add a little cream. And that's I really, really like that a lot. So.
That just sounds so
toasted
good.
Cheese sandwiches
and tomato soup.
Yeah.
And you know, we all have tomato soup memories. I think probably everybody's mom made it, didn't they? I like it with I like it served with the tiniest little pat of butter melting in the middle of the bowl. Oh my God! Which I think is. For my taste, the case with a lot of soups, like the roasted winter root vegetable soups, the pureed soups seem to me to always benefit from a tiny little bit of fat. And so if you're not putting cream in them at all, a little tiny pat of butter or a little dollop of creme fraiche or sour cream or something like that really... brings out the last little oomph of flavor for it. I don't know why that is. Compound butters are my favorite for that too, where you just, you know, like a little walnut sage butter or something. I know. We were talking earlier about French onion soup, which I think of as the ultimate hot soup because it comes screaming hot out from the broiler with that melted, you know, cheese crouton on top. And it's just so, you always end up having to wait for it to cool off enough to eat. But I do really love it. And I love the fact that the soup without the cheese and bread on top is something you can use in gravies. And I used some in a pot roast recently because it's just beef stock or vegetable stock and those fabulous caramelized onions, some garlic. It's good for everything.
I use my freezer almost like a prep kitchen. I don't even know if that's like the right way to say it. But for instance, I will buy a big bag of peeled fresh garlic and I just grind it up in the food processor and I put that in little quart bags. I put it very flat in the quart bag so that when I want a little piece, I just break it off when it's frozen. I do the same thing with ginger. I do the same thing with basil. I grind that up with just a little bit of olive oil and then I very flat freeze it in quart bags and then break off what I want.
Oh,
and
just then, basil and oil. So you're not making pesto, you're just making herb.
And I've done it with pesto. And then also for a while I was making a pea stew like with a little bit of rosemary, a little bit of thyme, I think, and then salt and pepper and garlic. But then there were things that I wanted just basil, and I thought, no, this isn't a finished thing.
Yeah. It's an ingredient.
It's like I used to when I was boiling up a chicken carcass, I'd put vegetables, which I still do, but I put garlic in there and it would taste better. But then there was occasionally a thing I just didn't want garlic in. And so I'm kind of trying, you know, to have just basic things. But then the other thing, if I'm making French onion soup and if I want it to be really good, I'll take that, you know, afternoon to slowly caramelize the onions and get them really brown in the pan. But that takes a couple hours. And then what I do is I cut up a 10-pound bag. I do them all at once. And then the rest I put in quart bags in the freezer. And the next seven times I make French onion soup, I have
or
that.
Anything you want caramelized onions for.
And so I have them. And then, you know, of course, I'll cut up like maybe, you know, three fresh onions and they'll have more body. But it just really adds a lot to the soup.
Oh, that sounds so good. And I bet you have a real good cry if you're cutting up a 10-pound bag of onions. So it kind of cathartic. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm wanting soup for lunch, definitely. I want to remind everybody that you are listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming live at coastradio.org and on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. Today we're talking about soup with the fabulous Linda Perkins. And what do you think about cream soups? Let's talk about cream soups.
Nom.
I know.
But wait, you know what? I wanted to say something about onion soup, but I'm so sorry.
No, good. I'm really in the mood for onion soup.
But You know how onion soup, because onions are kind of sweet, I mean, it can take just a ridiculous amount of salt to get it tasting right. And I think salt is really important to soup. It's a thing, one of the most important things that, you know, where seasoning is so important. Otherwise, you just have a big bland bowl of blah. But there's this thing with vinegar that vinegar can kind of trick your tongue into thinking salt. And so with especially French onion soup, I think this is the thing I do it with the most. If I'm making the French onion soup with like beef stock and red wine, I'll use red wine vinegar. If I'm making it, you know, with like vegetable stock and white wine, I'll use white wine vinegar. But putting some vinegar, and I'm talking like 2 tablespoons, not, you know, a cup or anything in there, you have to use a lot less salt. And I like the flavor of it. I like the acid. I think there's a lot of soups that you can finish with just a little squirt of lemon or something like that. And but it really helps cut down on the amount of salt you have to use. And a lot of people care about that.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people care about it, and a lot more of us probably should. I have also put a little dollop of soy sauce in. Instead of the salt in French onion soup. It gives a nice color too.
You said cream soups.
I said cream soups because I've been thinking about cream of asparagus soup, and you know, you can save those stalks when you snap off the parts of the fancy parts in the spring when you're in summer when we're eating asparagus till heck won't have them, and save those in the freezer bag and saute them up, or even go ahead and cook them up and then puree them and freeze them and use them for soup.
How do you puree it? How do you get it not to be like a big tangle of fibers?
Well, you have to actually, you know, cook the bejesus out of them. And also, I peel the stalks with a vegetable peeler to get the outside layer off, which is usually the part that's so stringy.
Okay.
Especially on the fat ones.
Okay.
But I like the fat ones. I tend to like the fat ones better.
Do you know what I learned? I had no idea. Asparagus, when it's young, it's fat. And when it's thin, like, you know, the thin little tiny ones, it's old.
Really?
Wouldn't you think it'd be the opposite? But no.
Yeah. Huh.
And I think about how it looks in the field, you know, like it comes out and it's right, it's fat. And then it turns into that thin little grassy thing with all the fluffy stuff on top.
Right.
And so, yeah.
But, oh, it's a really pretty plant. Well, I mean, I love cream of asparagus, but let's talk cream. I mean, asparagus is not in season. Mushrooms are.
Yeah.
Yum.
Num. So cream soups I really like, but just like you, there's just the two of us. And I really like, if I am making soup, to be able to freeze it. And so what I do is I partially make that kind of soup. And so often, if I'm adding dairy, I will add it right before we eat it. So if I'm making cream of mushroom, cream of broccoli is a big one at our house. Cream of cauliflower is a big one at our
house. So good.
Yeah. And it also, it has like a cream of potato feel, but then a lot less calories. Anyway, so I will make it to the point where you would add the cream, and then I freeze it. And then the part that we're going to eat, I will add the cream to.
That's a really good idea. Really good idea.
Because it just doesn't freeze well. But boy, it tastes good, huh?
It sure does. Creamy potato, and I love cream of celery for some reason.
Yeah.
I just do.
Well, and there's things that I can be lazy about and buy that I really think add a lot to soup. Like, for instance, truffle oil. When you said cream of celery, also cream of celeriac, celery root. Oh my gosh, that's so good with truffle oil. And then celery bitters, you'd think that that would
never
be,
have done that.
Well, I know that they sell them for Bloody Marys, but in any kind of cream or potato soup, oh my gosh, so good.
And you just put a little dash in there?
Yeah. And I actually do it in the bowl, like a condiment at the table.
Oh,
but,
right.
But it really adds a whole nother layer of flavor. I think it's really, really good.
Ooh, I'll have to try that. And then I'll have them on hand for a Bloody Mary.
How do you make your mushroom soup?
I just spend a lot of time. I saute the mushrooms, and usually as wide a variety of mushrooms as possible, including reconstituted dried mushrooms that I use the soaking water in. You have to strain it because it gets schmutz in the bottom. But I saute the onions in like half butter and half oil, slow and low for a long time, you know, the usual, just like you would do onions, and get them to the point where you just want to eat the pan full of mushrooms. And onion, minced onion. I tend to start a whole lot of soups with that classic mirepoix of really finely diced onion, carrot, and celery.
Okay.
And then cook it until it's just practically pureed itself, because not every soup I eat, I want that in there. Mm-hmm. But I like the flavor mm-hmm. base for almost every kind of soup, actually. Mm-hmm. And then just a whole lot of mushrooms, a little bit of brandy or like marsala or something like that in the pan at the end, and then some cream and more butter. It's not a diet soup, but it is a whole meal.
Yeah, it sounds just delicious.
Yeah, it's yummy.
I tend to like soups that are kind of rustic and not very refined. And I don't know if it's because I personally have no finesse. But I have an immersion blender, and it's a thing that I am so happy I have. Just that stick blender you just stick in there.
Yeah, a little boat motor.
Yeah, boat motor, so I don't have to move stuff to a blender and worry about it exploding all over me in the kitchen. But if I am making a soup and I use it, I generally don't take it all the way. I don't puree it to like a smooth puree.
Uh-huh.
So like black bean soup, I love black bean soup. But generally, I will stick that boat motor in there and then just blitz it a little so that it's just a little thicker and creamier. I like that. When I make the tomato soup, I stick it in there so it's just partially pureed. There's that consistency of being thick and wintry and delicious, but it's not just a you know, smooth bowl of snot. And so I do really like having an immersion blender, but I like using it partially.
I like that too. And even with that, just partially pureed, you can still put it in a mug and, you know, really enjoy it. I wonder about what you think about pasta in soup and rice in soup.
Okay, so I personally like them, but I don't cook them in the soup. A lot of people do. But if I'm going to put pasta in the soup, I will cook it separately because I don't like soggy pasta, and I don't like soggy rice. And so I will keep it in a container separate. It's sort of like how I make the soup partially and then freeze it if it's a cream soup. I don't add it until we're going to eat it because I just don't like it sitting in there and getting all goopy. Do you know?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I absolutely do that and then just ladle the starch into the bowl and pour hot soup mm-hmm. over it, which is what restaurants do too, because they know. And also the next day, if you know, we always have leftover soup is really nasty if the pasta or rice has been in there the whole time.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way to do it too. And it's a great way to be able to use leftover rice and leftover fried rice. Mm-hmm. Fabulous, you know, in the bottom of a bowl of soup. Really good. In fact, I saw Rod making chicken rice soup for the warming center a couple days ago. And we've been making soup at the food web for the warming center, taking turns with Jimbo down at the Astoria Coffee House and Bistro.
That's so cool.
It's so cool, but and this is very cool too, but we did kind of overdose everybody on turkey vegetable soup because we were donated so many turkeys this year between Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays.
Okay.
We got probably 5 turkeys donated.
Wow.
To the food web, and we would roast them all off, sometimes 2 at a time, and then make stock with the carcasses and chop up the meat and make turkey soup. So it was turkey vegetable soup, which is very hearty. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's not good, but it really, if you kind of don't want it every day forever.
Yeah.
But thinking of ways to make, when you're a nonprofit, thinking of ways to make things economically mm-hmm. in large batches mm-hmm. is a challenge if you don't mm-hmm. want to make chicken soup every day. So maybe we should talk about bean soups or bean soups.
Okay. I think vegetarian soups are more of a challenge than soups with meat to fully develop a really rich flavor. But I think the way to do it is to cook the vegetables a decent amount of time, really develop their flavor, get them brown. I love black bean soup, and that's what I do. I have that onion in the pot for 10 minutes. I cook it until it's nice and brown around the edges, even though there's a lot of people that don't like that, but that's what I do. Then I add the carrot and the celery, and I let it go another 10 minutes, and I'll add some peppers and go another 5-10 minutes. And I just think that time is what develops the flavor in a soup that you don't have, like, you know, meat to do that Maillard reaction. Uh-huh. I really, really like doing that. I think it's much better than everything dumped in a pot and boiled.
Are you using chili peppers or sweet peppers?
Well, in our house, like, for instance, my husband, he likes hot food, but hot food does not like him. And so I would probably, generally what I do is I like the flavor of red peppers, bell peppers more than green bell peppers. So for what I like, I would use a red bell pepper and then just like one jalapeno. And that's what he likes and likes him.
That's important.
Yeah.
That's really important.
How about you?
Well, you know, when I get into that kind of stuff, I tend to tip over into like chili and mm-hmm. stew and that kind of thing, which really sort of falls under the big umbrella of soup, but it's heartier. Mm-hmm. And I'm at our house, a favorite is vegetarian chili over rice. And that is a very hearty meal.
Yeah.
Without having
it
to have
it. It sounds
any
really
meat.
Good.
Yeah, I know. And that's got a lot of veg in it. And whatever kind of beans happen to be on the shelf, I don't do the soaking bean thing for two people. I don't want to be eating chili for 100 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm making modest amounts of chili at a time, and I usually just use one or two 15-ounce cans of whatever I've got.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but this is good. That's also a really good, hearty cup and a spoon kind of thing. I like the kinds of soup I can drink, frankly, because I'm not really good in polite company at eating brothy soups. So I like the mug thing.
I really like what you said earlier that you had leftover mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
There's a soup that my grandma would make that she was famous for, and it essentially was a potato soup, but she would either cook some potatoes or if she had mashed potatoes, she would add some chicken broth to that, and then she would put ham in it and then
Ooh.
Green beans. That's it. But, oh, it's Ooh. Just so good.
It's so good.
And then, oh, a little half and half for cream at the end.
Oh,
but
man.
That's what she was famous for. Oh, you know what we haven't talked about?
What?
Black pepper.
Yes,
soup
and
has
so.
To have black pepper. And you know what? I like fine grind better than the coarse grind because it doesn't all sink to the bottom.
Yeah, no, I like it too, especially in cooking. I like ground pepper as a garnish at the end when we're finishing something.
Yeah.
But
I think in soup it is important to have enough pepper.
Yeah. You know what I'm loving lately is the herbed pepper.
Oh.
From the spice shop. Have you tried it?
No.
Oh, yo.
It's
a real fine grind. No, okay. I've been using it for a while.
Okay, sorry.
I have totally forsaken my pepper grinder, except for on the table, be in favor of that stuff. I don't even know what's in there, but yipes. It's really good. We have souped right up until, you know, almost 10 o'clock.
I could go on forever.
I know, me too. Right up until lunch, and then we could invite everybody in for soup. I do want to remind everybody, though, that you we are coming up to the top of the hour when I am going to send you off to NPR News Headlines. And then at 6 minutes after the hour, John Stevenson is in the house. I see him through the window out there to bring you Lost Highways. And you know that is a couple of hours of extremely good music to accompany you through your morning this kind of wintry Monday. It's looking like rain. In fact, I'm looking at the forecast and it's saying it's going through the various ways to say rain over the next few days. The poor weather forecasters are trying to be creative and not bore us to death. So it's either drizzle or showers or rain.
We should be like Eskimos, though, where we have 30 words for rain.
Yes, we should.
30 words for snow.
we have a paucity of ways to say rain. I also want to remind you that North Coast Food Web's cooking classes are in full swing, and coming up most immediately are Good and Cheap, which is a great way to cook fabulous meals for hardly any money at all. And we are starting our basic techniques series the beginning of February. Those are on Saturday morning starting at 10 o'clock. I'm doing this from memory. I want you to go to I want you to go to northcoastfoodweb.org. cookingclasses.org and look at the whole calendar of cooking classes and come cook with us. We've got lots of stuff going on. So we would love to have you there. They're really fun and really delicious. And after we all cook together, because this is not, these are not demonstration classes, you don't get to sit and watch us cook. We get to cook with you. Then we all sit down and eat together. So please join us. And Linda, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
I'm always grateful to have you here.